This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report, a special Thanksgiving edition, as we now have, for the most part, Thanksgiving behind us and that shortened trading week. My name is Corey Fleck, and I appreciate you joining me on this weekend show. Boy, oh boy, was it ever a volatile week, especially for precious metals. And that's something that I will cover a fair bit, especially in this first segment. I am kicking off this show with Mark Chandler. He is a managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. He also writes the Mark to Market blog, which I visit every day. Now, Mark, you and I chat pretty much every Friday, and I appreciate you taking time on this Friday when we are recording it about halfway through the day to discuss, first and foremost, the moves in gold this week. It really started off as a bad week for gold, moving down about $30, and that seemed to be the trend of the week, which was consistent corrections in gold throughout the week. And as you and I are recording this, we're trading right around, let's say, 1785, right around that level. Another correction going on today in gold. It's dropped below that 1800. A lot of technicians are looking at around the 1760 level. Mark, give us your first initial summary on gold's breakdown, continued correction. How long do you think this could keep on going on for?
Yeah, no, it's been what a week for gold. I mean, it's been, you think about what happened, you know, in early August, we were testing $2,075. And I remember there were people who were complaining that when I talked about 2,000, that I was being too cautious. And the sell-off, and even for people like me, the pace of this decline, despite what other things that gold has been correlated with, have done well this week. Equities, and a week, you'd expect a weaker dollar. And when I say weaker dollar, the euro is basically at highest level it's been at since the 1st of September, which was a two-year high. The dollar index is broken down below 92, and yet gold cannot really sustain even the modest upticks. I think a lot of people are caught on the wrong side, and I think that I, too, had overestimated the or underestimated, underappreciated how much people had bought gold because of the pandemic. And as soon as we got the first, you know, once Pfizer made its announcement on gold, on the vaccine, I think that what we've seen happening is it seems like the strongest selling pressure is coming from the ETFs, who, of course, a lot of people have poured into gold ETFs and the gold funds, the open-ended funds. And that, this is where the selling pressure seems to be coming from. And the fact that we see like strong selling pressure and a modest upticks tells me there might still be some overhead supply.
So, Mark, you mentioned there that it seemed like gold really ran higher on the back of this pandemic. But in all fairness, it had been correcting over the last about 4 months now. The last couple weeks have been more or less a breakdown in gold as it broke below that 1850 level on the back of, yes, vaccine news. So I guess hopes of this pandemic is going to be behind us. But a lot of the narrative, too, that was driving gold is easier money policies. That hasn't dissipated much, though, right? We should be getting some sort of a spending package and a continued easy Fed next year.
Yes, no, I agree. And that's the thing that I put more like, I should say, stock in, is the fact that for people like me who are not always bullish on gold, who see the fact that one of the arguments we use against gold has been that, well, you don't get any interest for holding this asset, the non-yield bearing asset. But now we've got like trillions of dollars of negative yielding bonds in the world. And like you say, low yields for as far as the eye can see. And in fact, you think about what's happened in the past couple of weeks. You've got just yesterday, while we were celebrating Thanksgiving in the U.S., Sweden's Riksbank, it made a big jump, about 25% jump in the bonds it's going to begin buying. The UK has, the UK and Australia have eased policy recently. And in a couple of weeks, everybody's expecting the ECB to ease. And the rumors, speculation of the past week or so in the US is that the Federal Reserve will shift its buying, bond buying, maybe increase the amount, but at least shift buying into the long end of the curve to provide more stimulus. So I think that the safe haven aspect of gold, because, you know, we talked about it before, we see that gold and the stock market were correlated. So gold was treated mathematically, if you will, as a risk-on asset. And yet the risk-ons come back into the fore, and gold hasn't. So I'm concerned about it, but I agree with you that we might have to go a bit lower first, but the larger macro picture, I think, will support gold, and we just have this washout, which I think is more about stay alongs getting out than about momentum traders trying to jump onto it.
So does that mean that all those people that did jump on that gold bandwagon when it broke through 1800 and very then quickly through 1900, they were all in a lost position, and you think for the most part these people are out of their positions now?
Well, I don't know, like, out of it yet completely, but it does seem to me that just from the size of the flows and the volumes we've been seeing, it would seem that a lot of people have gotten out. And we'll have to wait for the, you know, the CFTC figures. But that'd be my sense, is what we have to wait for is we need like a capitulation trade. And the break of the 200-day moving average, the move to, the move through 1800, I think that's why I like that level that you mentioned, the 1760 level. And if we go through there, I think we got to be thinking about 1700, which is just still in the big picture of things. You think about where we were a year or two ago, and this still is within what one would expect of a deep correction rather than a bear market necessarily.
Okay. I agree with that. It does continue to look simply like a deep correction, and a correction that was needed because of how quickly gold went up, especially in, it was that July time frame when it just broke through a lot of resistance levels. So, Mark, does the gold trade need to go back to being looked at as a safe haven asset? Because you're right, it was moving higher. That is, gold was moving higher with the equity markets. There seemed to be this optimism when investors put money into the U.S. markets. It also landed in gold. That all changed a few weeks ago, I think we can say, when the rotation really took hold in U.S. markets and gold really started to sell off. But then you look on the flip side and you saw Bitcoin just scream higher. Can you make any sense of that trade?
Yes, I can't make sense of the Bitcoin, but I do think that with gold, I do think that you have something there. That so when I think about gold, what are the main drivers of gold? So I typically will look at interest rates or inflation, and of course we've seen a rise in both, like the that is to say U.S. yields have risen, and the break evens. That's the difference between the inflation-linked securities and conventional bonds. That break even has also moved up. So we've got higher yields and higher inflation expectations. That'd be negative for gold. But we do have stocks, so sometimes it does trade, like you say, as a risk-on asset. Just you buy everything, especially things that hurt when you drop on your feet. And so we've had a rise in commodities, including oil, but also the grains. And we've had a rise in stock market. That would would be positive for gold. And then you have the dollar, which also you would expect to be positive for gold. So I don't know. I can't deduce from first economic principles which driver we should put the most weight in. But it seems to me that the vaccine, the rise in U.S. yields, they're all painting the same kind of picture of a reflation story. Not necessarily inflation, but reflation.
Exactly. And you look to something even like copper, too, which had a very significant breakout this week, trading at levels we haven't seen since 2014, even before, actually 2013. Yeah, let me correct that. That is a key breakout as well. Mark, we're out of time for this first segment on the radio, but I am having you back on next segment. We're going to look a little bit more into the U.S. dollar and some of the interesting close-to-breakdown moves that we saw this week and that strange relationship of the dollar and gold moving down together. Everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back with Mark Chandler.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Your
your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing to chat with Mark Chandler. Now, Mark, let's look a little bit more towards the dollar in this segment, because the dollar arguably is breaking down this week, trading very close to the bottom of its range and temporarily breaking below that range. I know, you're a dollar bear. You've been on the show. You see a longer-term bearish scenario for the dollar. But I have to ask you, does the weakness right now in this breakdown, is it a little premature?
Last week, I cautioned against chasing the dollar lower. We did move a bit lower on the dollar than this past week against almost all the major currencies. And as we talk here today, the euro is, like I say, above 1950, testing its highest level since September 1st. But I tell you, I think that the market right now is vulnerable that it's really exaggerating the dollar negatives in the short run. Here's what I'm looking at. Part of the dollar bearish argument I've given you over the last several months, is that the U.S. doesn't have the growth and interest rate differentials to support the dollar. And so the greenback then has to act as a cushion, as a shock absorber to attract foreigners into our asset markets. And what's happened, I think, is that partly because the U.S. social restrictions in the face of this COVID surge are not nearly as severe as most of Europe's, the U.S. economy seems to be growing at a much better pace than Europe. So we saw the PMIs, the preliminary PMIs for November, and they were below the 50 boom-bust level for the Eurozone and Japan and the U.K. The U.S. surprised on the upside. We've had a string of other data, including durable goods data, inventory data, that all point to the U.S. economy perhaps being much more resilient than we thought. I'll give you an example. The Atlanta Fed, like a couple of other Federal Reserves that we have a GDP tracker. It's not supposed to be a forecasting tool as much as sort of an accounting function. As the data comes in, what kind of pace is this showing? Well, about a week ago, the Atlanta Fed was at about 5.6%. That would be annualized growth in Q4. After this recent string of U.S. economic data, they revised up their tracker to 11%. Now, 11% annualized, so you unannualize it, still it's an incredible number. I think especially given that the Eurozone, Japan, and the UK may contract in Q4. And we're going to get this message again next week. We're going to get the US, the Eurozone, and Japan are going to be reporting employment figures. And what's going to show is that the US unemployment likely slipped a bit. Remember, we peaked around 14%. And it's going to be, it was below 7%. And it might slip a little bit further below 7%. On the other hand, the Eurozone and Japan are expected to see a new cyclical highs in the unemployment. Ours is falling, albeit slower than most people would like to see it fall. But Europe and Japan's is still rising. And so I think that that kind of fundamental backdrop, coupled with the ECB meeting sooner in December before the Fed meets, will help sort of remind people, I guess, in a sense, of this growth divergence, inflation divergence. Both Europe and the Japan are experiencing deflation, and the U.S. PCE deflators, both the core and the headline, are above 1%. Again, it's not as good as the Fed would like. Not at the Fed's target of 2%, but in the foreign exchange market, it's about relative value. Everything's a relative value, and I think the U.S. is doing better than Europe and Japan, and that should begin giving the dollar some support as we, that is the dollar, approaches the lower end of a 3 or 4 month trading range.
Okay, so you say this data should give the dollar some support here and maybe a bounce, but isn't the market telling us right now that they're looking past the data, I guess, or just flat out ignoring the data? Maybe we do need the ECB to actually announce some easier program to get traders to switch their positions and their expectations, because right now the data hasn't resonated with traders.
Right, I agree with you. I think that the ECB is going to have to do something if they want to get ahead of like the curve of expectations. But at the same time, what I'm looking at too is that the different momentum indicators like RSI or the MACD or the slow stochastic, they all suggest the dollar is getting stretched, as you would imagine. I mean, remember, and then on the night of the election, the euro is trading 116, the lower end of the range. And so I think that what I'm really suggesting is that as traders, as investors, we have to make a decision. The dollar index has been roughly 92 to 94. The euro has been roughly 116 to 120. As we approach the edges of the ranges, we've got to decide whether we should play for the breakout or should we be playing to continue the range. And often I find that the risk reward, as you get close to the edge of the range, this reward really pays you to even up or not to play for the breakout. And what happens is you often miss the breakout, but you just miss the first part of it. You can always, so if you get out in 1950, say, well, it's not going to get above 120, and lo and behold, we're wrong again, and it goes above 120, you could buy it above 120. And emotionally, you're stronger about buying it above 120 after having taken profits, as opposed to thinking what happens when you're you go from 119.50 back to the middle of the range, 118, and the shoulda, woulda, couldas.
Well, I guess that's where we stand, though, right, is waiting for this market to turn and then, I guess, jumping on that trade. But what does this mean for inflation expectations, then, if the dollar starts to rise? And if the dollar starts to rise, does that mean that gold and the dollar can go up together?
Well, it's interesting, right, because gold and the dollar have been falling together the past couple of weeks, actually, since we got the first news about the vaccine. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm mixed about what the exact point is that triggers this all. But I do think that what we're seeing is that there has been a rise, as we're talking about, the industrial metals, the grains, and the energy complex. But whether that really is inflationary is a different story. Partly, as you know, a lot of the goods that we buy don't have a lot of raw materials in them. You think about our cell phones, our computers. There's a lot of things that we have these days are not raw material intensive, but sort of knowledge and intellectual property intensive. And what a lot of the commodities are showing us is sort of the strength of not of the economy so much, or European economy, but the strength of the Asian economies. And here I'm thinking about China, but also South Korea, Taiwan, Vietnam. And I think that this is what the commodity market is more telling us, more about the demand from Asia than it is about the supply.
Some very interesting comments regarding the currency market. And again, it is a comparison game. And right now, the markets don't seem to care, but data out of the U.S. has been generally better than Europe and Japan. Mark, it's great chatting with you. Thank you again for taking some time on this Friday, which is posted on the weekend show, to recap a crazy volatile week and a fairly larger degree correction for precious metals and focusing on the dollar. Mark, great chatting with you. Thanks, buddy. Have a great rest of your long weekend.
Thanks. Good luck to everybody.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
We'll be right back. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Trump's legal team lost another round in court. Tim Berg at the USA Radio Phoenix Bureau reports that the three-judge panel, which includes the Trump appointee, said there was no evidence to back up the campaign's claim of voter fraud.
President Trump's campaign on Friday lost its appeal in a legal battle to contest Pennsylvania's already certified election results. A federal appeals court in Philadelphia upheld a previous ruling that dismissed the campaign's case to prevent Pennsylvania from certifying its election results, showing former Vice President Joe Biden as winning the state. President Trump took to Twitter and said they would appeal the ruling. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Wall Street had a positive yet abbreviated day on Friday. The Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P 500 all closed higher. This is USA Radio News. A CDC panel will meet Tuesday to decide how a COVID-19 vaccine will be given out once one is approved. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices will recommend who to vaccinate and when. The FDA's scientific advisors will meet the following week to review Pfizer's request to allow emergency use of its COVID-19 vaccine candidate. Manufacturers are stockpiling doses in anticipation of approval. Milwaukee County, Wisconsin completed its recount of the presidential election yesterday. After the recount of more than 450,000 ballots, President-elect Joe Biden increased his lead by 132 votes. George Christensen is Milwaukee County Clerk.
I promised that this would be a transparent and fair process, and it was. There was an examination of every ballot by election workers, a meticulous recounting of every ballot that was properly cast. A transparent process that allowed the public to observe.
One suit has already been filed seeking to block certification of the results. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are shifting our focus a little bit more into the resource sector now as I am chatting with Jayant Bhandari. He is an advisor to a number of institutional investors that are focused in the resource sector. Jayant is also, I think, very well known to some of our longer time listeners. Now, Jayant, I want to take a step back with you and look kind of big picture at the resource sector and some of the global factors that you see driving different metals. Look, precious metals, it's been a good year for the precious metals, but they are still in this correction. We're all waiting for a bottom to be formed. And from a lot of the people that I respect and technicians that I respect that analyze the sector, it really does seem like we're going to be looking to next year for when the next run higher can come. But we might be starting to see a nice bottom being formed here. Jayant, give us a little rundown, though, of what you are watching globally for the resource sector and what you think it needs to be noted by investors.
Well, Corey, we have to remember that China consumes more than 50% of virtually every commodity. And Chinese economy is back in shape. It's in a growth form again. The fact remains that across the board, commodities have done reasonably well over the year, despite a fall in March, commodity prices are not only back, they are back in a stronger way. I was talking with a garments manufacturing company based in China a couple of days back, and they told me that the textile exports from China have actually increased about 35% year on year, although, of course, textile includes export of masks. But Chinese economy has done very well. It's growing at about 4.9% in Q3. The exports from China in H1 grew by 4.6%, and in October the exports from China grew by 11.4%. So Chinese economy seems to be doing very well. China has imposed restrictions, unofficial restrictions on imports from Australia and New Zealand. They are finding COVID in meat imports from New Zealand and Australia. They are claiming that coal produced by Australia is not meeting environmental standards, which is hilarious complaint to make, actually. But that said, it seems that it's hurting China more than it's hurting Australia, and China will probably have to pull back from it. Coking coal is not easy for China to procure. If they don't procure it from Australia, which actually has a sort of monopoly from the Chinese point of view, China has to import it from USA, Canada, or Mongolia, which are distant from the transportation point of view, which means that coking prices have fallen outside China, but they have increased inside China, and Chinese steel manufacturers are suffering while steel manufacturers outside China are benefiting hugely from this. So this cannot continue for China if China wants to stay competitive. And in terms of thermal coal, something very interesting has happened, which is that ironically, it might be benefiting Australia. By restricting imports of thermal coal, China is having to import it from faraway places and otherwise expensive places, which means thermal coal prices have gone up, which is actually benefiting Australia. So, you will continue to hear about this trade war between, unofficial trade war between China and Australia. The fact remains that Australia will emerge hurt from it, from a government of Australia's website, you can see that new projects coming online are investing about 30% more in capex in commodity businesses than it was the case last year. So I think Australia is doing very well. Chinese product consumption and growth is back in shape. You will hear all these noise about trade war between Australia and China, but I think it will get washed away eventually because China will unnecessarily suffer if they don't undo their restrictions. Now, China, of course, hasn't imposed any restrictions on import of iron ore and LNG from Australia because China cannot do without Australia in terms of those two commodities. So again, overall, I think the future looks quite good in terms of increasing consumption of commodities to me, and Australia should actually benefit from all this. And as a result, companies in Australia that have suffered, commodity companies that have suffered because of trade war between Australia and China might revert back to their normal.
So, Giant, what about some of the other commodity sectors then in terms of either precious metals or base metals? As I mentioned, precious metals are continuing in this correction, but base metals, just this week, copper had a breakout to levels that we hadn't seen since 2014. Are there any areas, any certain commodity sectors that you think provide some good investment opportunities right now?
I think commodity sectors are well priced for now. I would not fall prey to what people have been claiming about new green technology commodities. I think that is a difficult area. The problem is that while Biden and many of the other governments might be interested in making their countries so-called green, they actually cannot make their countries green by imposing green technology from top down. Their problem is that post-COVID, they will have a huge shortage of cash. And when reality sinks in, they will realize that they have to work towards improving the productivities of their economies rather than imposing what sounds good, which is the green technology. Green technology has to improve organically. Green technology has done very well. In many areas, sun-based and wind-based energy has done very well. But this has to improve organically. This has to be productive. This has to be economical before it gets traction in the society. Otherwise, you would be destroying economic value. And we are in no position to do or destroy economic value, particularly when free checks have to go to welfare recipients and unemployed people.
Okay. Let's get also a comment on precious metals, because a couple answers ago you even said that you think a lot of metal sectors are priced fairly right now. When it comes to the precious metals, gold is about over $200 off of its highs. Silver, you can say, has been performing a bit better during this correction. And same with some of the gold stocks. They were selling off a couple weeks ago. Some of the ones, at least in my portfolio, really seem like they have started to bottom here. How are you playing this pullback in precious metals? And do you think that it'll take to next year? Or what do you think will drive the prices?
Well, I am certainly optimistic about the precious metals, and precious metals are a different kind of commodities. They are a function of what's happening in the economies around the world. And we do see increase in political uncertainty around the world. The wars will go up going forward. There will be a lot of problems in the third world countries. As I just mentioned to you earlier, that Bangladesh and India are suffering hugely from COVID, and that is the same case with a lot of third world countries. So as a result, because of the social problems in those countries, which will obviously result from economic problems created by COVID, consumption of gold by savers will increase. You can actually see that in the performance of gold. Now, gold bugs can start to worry about a fall of gold by 5% or so. But you know, even currencies fall by 5%. The U.S. dollar has fallen by more than 5% in terms of Chinese yuan this year. So what's the big deal about a change of 5% in any commodity pricing, particularly when it has gone up very significantly over the last 1 year?
All right, Giant, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for your time again. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much, Corey.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm wrapping up the weekend edition with Ivan Bebek. Now, everybody remembers Ivan as the past, I guess, executive chairman of Orin Resources. Orin Resources has since gone through a, let's call it a split, a spin out of the Peruvian projects, and a rename and a refocus as Fury Gold Mines. We are going to be focusing a lot on what's going on in Peru, because I've been getting a number of emails and questions from existing shareholders of both of these companies, which are unlisted, as to what some of the updates are. So the two companies in Peru, Tier 1 Metals, Ivan is the chairman of Tier 1 Metals, and Sombrero, he is the CEO of Sombrero. Let's start with Tier 1 Metals here, Ivan. I know that the listing is scheduled for Q1 of next year, but what can investors expect? What are they looking at here for some of the fundamentals of Tier 1 Metals when it does come publicly traded?
Hi, Corey. Great. Thanks to have me back on your show. And it's been quite the whirlwind. As you've pointed out, the transformational event was substantial. But, you know, the one theme that we're seeing, and you'll hear it today, is all of these opportunities are getting much better than they were prior to us doing the split, including the price of the commodities, copper being, you know, at 7-year highs, almost $3.40 a pound, and gold, you know, it's been through its volatility lately, but I think that's an incredibly good sign for what's to come ahead for those metals. So Tier 1 is rapidly working towards completing the targeting on the Curibaya project. We impressed ourselves in the market with the initial sampling, which was multi-kilo silver over about a 4-square-kilometer area. That is expanded now. We've sampled a lot more, both really high-grade silver and high-grade gold that expands that footprint. We've learned about the system. Originally, we were, you know, really excited about a really good epithermal silver-gold target. And what we found out about it so far was a couple of key factors. One is we've done geophysics. We're completing our magnetics. It's telling us what might be underneath the surface. We found a major structural proponent to the actual silver and where we think the silver is going to coalesce and where there could be a very high-grade silver deposit. We've identified this as a lithocap, which means we're high up in the system. But very impressively, we think we're onto a world-class porphyry target beside or beneath the precious metals, which is very common in these type of systems. And, you know, the information is coming in as early as yesterday, and it'll be more final in the next 2 weeks. There'll be a press release explaining all of this. But, you know, if you dreamt about a world-class silver target, I think now you can add a major porphyry target to that. And the word preserved comes up a lot with the geologist, meaning we're above the system, we're not exposed, the system has not eroded away. So I think where I originally stood with Kuribaya was, wow, exciting, multi-kilo silver and up to 43 gram gold on these veins over a pretty substantial area, which was about 4 square kilometers, that has now gotten about 50% bigger. And then learning, once we got a peek at the geophysics and the magnetics, which are about to complete here, we're starting to see a major porphyry target. And the last thing I'll point out about Kuribaya, which is substantial, is there is the age dating of the rocks and the intrusions is the same as those world-class porphyry deposits along the belt. This is the first ever Eocene epithermal system, meaning precious metal system that's been dated that age in this part of Peru. So Kuribaya is something new. It does make, and you will see this in the next few weeks, it does make the world-class opportunity status for both precious and base metals. And it's going to be, I think, comparatively as interesting on a perspective as Sombrero, definitely as interesting as Fury, you know. And so it's really come together way better than we thought it would. We had early inclinations this could be a very robust system for precious metals, and now we see that being also for base metals, which, as you know, copper has been on fire.
Yeah, copper had a very key breakout this week. But Ivan, I know a lot of people are wondering about permits, actually getting drills on site. What updates can you give us in terms of the permitting?
So that's a great question. And in this part of Peru, we're blessed with a lot better permitting process. And we're also blessed with the fact that the community is very, very much in favor of our presence. And I think we're going to see drill permits in hand early Q1. And our plan to relist is actually February. So within 2 months from today and a couple of weeks of that being for the holidays, we're not far from coming back trading. And we think we'll have about a month before we actually turn drills. But we're very mature in the stages of reaching that drill permit. So drill permits will be in hand about a few weeks after we relist in early February.
So in terms of future news or even news before the actual listing, do you guys still have a lot of surface work, a lot of targeting work to do, or is this thing pretty much drill ready?
So where we stand there is we're in the last week of completing all of that work. We have not fed the market or investors with updates along the way, because the system needed to complete before we knew exactly what we're dealing with, and we wanted to come out with one strong targeting model. And you will see that in the next couple of weeks. You're also going to see an acquisition of another asset. One of our colleagues has been after for about 9 years. He's our country manager, has been really keen on this asset, and we've reviewed it. Technically, we are looking to complete an acquisition there before year end, and it's something that would be comparatively interesting to Sombrero's best day and or Kuribaya's best day. So it's another world-class swing. We're really looking at making sure Kuribaya and Tier 1 Metals has the opportunity, much like Orin did, to deliver on multiple assets offering really high quality silver and gold opportunities, as well as copper opportunities on the coast of Peru in areas where obtaining community permit and drill permits is very favorable. And that's been an underground or an underlining feature for all of the things we're doing here. So expect a lot of news by year end. a lot of podcasts in January before we relist in February. You know, I'm always asked, what's your favorite one of the three that you've spun? I like them all, as I would like three children, you know. If I was to choose children, I would choose all three at the same time. But where I stand right now is blown away by what's happening at Curibaya. The technical team, the board is equally of that opinion, and I can't wait until these press releases come out here in the next 2 weeks prior to year end. And then that's it. Tier 1 is close. It got way better. There's more coming. It covers really, really high-quality, world-class precious metal silver gold targets, as well as porphyry targets, on one of the most prolific trends in all of Peru and globally for major discoveries.
Okay, so a lot of news that we will follow up on. One final point for Tier 1, what's in the treasury? What are you expecting in terms of money, and what will be needed to get your feet on the ground, get a drill on the ground?
Great question there. We have about $4 million is what we started with. We're not spending all of that. We actually can coast through the end of next year on a G&A basis and complete our near-term work that we want to complete. However, that doesn't include capital for drilling. So once we reveal all the acquisitions we're going to do, and once we show you and everyone else how good the targeting really came together, how big these opportunities, I mean, I classified them as world-class, and I can't wait to justify those with the scale and the opportunities in the press releases. Then we'll look at doing a bit of a top-up to the treasury. We'll have that discussion probably mid-late January once all the news is out, and we will do much like in the fashion of Warren financings. We'll try to align ourselves with very strategic investors to drive the business plan forward and finance at a very favorable market price that respects the opportunity as well as the current anti-dilutive theme of all of our funding. So I think we're going to be in a very strong position to finance going into one of the best points of our market from a seasonal perspective. Our launch will be in February, and I think it's going to come out really, really strong.
All right, Ivan, we're going to have to wrap this up because we are out of time for the radio, but you and I are going to continue this conversation. We still have to talk about the other Peruvian spin-out, Sombrero, which holds the Sombrero project. I also have a couple of questions for you regarding some of the early on trading in Fury Gold Mines, regarding a short position that has been noted and I've gotten a couple emails about. So everybody, to hear the full interview, please visit my website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting, and please, everybody, keep the emails coming. I really enjoy hearing from all of you, and it really provides me a lot of insights, especially on the companies that I have on the show, in terms of what you're focused on, what you want to know about these companies, and any other names that have caught your interest that you think are simply not getting the market awareness that they deserve. My email is fleck@kereport.com. I hope all of our listeners down in the U.S. had a very happy Thanksgiving. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.